politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam, so I actually, I kind of got this week.
How did that happen?
My computer, when it started, it asked for the startup disk, and when I said, here's my password, it said, nope, that's not your password, even though that was totally my password.
You forgot your password?
Nope. I typed it like at the speed of mud. So slowly, so carefully, and it still, no matter what I did, it said, nope, that's not your password.
Painful.
Very. So here's where it got interesting. I restarted my computer maybe four times. Each time I did it, I had these echoes in my head of 1998 when you did that, your computer was progressively getting more erased or messed up. And then all of a sudden it just worked. And I was not God, and I was happy, but oh my God, I was terrified. I was waiting for the, you know, I totally will give you your password, Mr. Friedlander, if you give me one Bitcoin. I was waiting for it, and it didn't pop up. Then somehow it just started working, so I have no idea what happened.
So no frozen screen.
Yeah.
No skull and bones.
Nope.
No clock ticking back from 90 hours telling your wife was about to end.
It was like Airplane. You know the movie when he says...
Rapunzel,
and then he unplugs the whole airport and says, oh, just kidding.
Now, listen, it can be very daunting when this thing happens, and we're going to be talking about a story later today where something kind of akin to that happened to somebody we know. Welcome to What the Hack. I'm Adam Levin, author of Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves, and longtime consumer advocate.
And I'm Bo Friedlander. I write a lot about scams, hacks, fraud, and all kinds of online crime.
I'm Travis. I'm the disembodied voice floating around Bo and Adam's head.
So, what's going on today, Adam?
Well, today we have a wonderful guest, Joyce Bertner from New Jersey. And we're going to be talking today about a technology-related scam. Joyce, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How's everything in New Jersey?
Well, the sun is out, so that always makes me happy. The snow is just about gone. I've had my second vaccine 2 days ago.
Mazel tov.
Amazing.
And I'm glad I did not have to cancel this because I felt really sick for several hours yesterday. It was like a faucet. It came on and it shut off.
It is wonderful that Joyce is with us, in particular because when I lived in New Jersey 3 centuries ago, there was a great phrase by our, at that time, Governor Tom Kaine. And his line in his best Bostonian accent was, New Jersey and you.
Perfect together.
Perfect together. So having Joyce with us today is like New Jersey, Brooklyn, and Arizona, and Oregon.
Perfect together.
Well, I've lived here all my life.
I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you, and NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, Go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance an Electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Hack with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's electricebikes.com.
Hey there, campers. Look, if you have a story about being a victim of a hack, we'd love to hear about it. Give us a call at 623-252-1828. That's 623-252-1828, or email stories@whatthehackpod.com.
Now, Joyce, where in New Jersey are you?
Short Hills, Essex County.
Horse country, no?
No.
I always say that to everybody. Whenever they tell me New Jersey and where they're from, I say, horse country, and they always say no.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say what exit on the turnpike.
No, I know better than that.
Oh, I hate that.
So what do you do? What do you do for fun out there?
I'm a big walker, hiker, amateur chef, sourdough bread baker, big reader, knitter. Grandmother.
And raconteur extraordinaire.
I'm married to my wonderful guy, Jerry, for 50 plus years. I worked in PR.
Adam already knew Jerry. So how do you guys all know each other?
Jerry and I know each other through stock market, financial management, all that. But anyway, Joyce, it's great to have you. Great to have you on the show today and to talk to you basically about your experience. So give us the lead up. How did this all kind of unfold?
I logged onto my laptop. I was about to play a game with three friends, which I do regularly on Mondays. And
so what's the game? What's the game that you play, Joyce?
Good old Mahjong.
Oh my gosh. You play Mahjong on Zoom?
Well, no, it's an app online because, you know, we have not been able to play in person. So some clever person figured out how to put the game online as an app. It's actually quite good.
So who do you play?
I play with three other friends. One's in Arizona, near you, Adam. Two are here, but in different towns. And we could chat with each other. It's actually quite good.
So is this like is there gossip? Is this like a real Mahjong game or serious playing?
No, we don't talk. No, we seriously play.
So who wins?
The luckiest.
Anyone in particular?
The luckiest? Depends on the computer throws the tile. Anybody interested, go on realmahjong.com. So to continue my story, so I'm logging on. I know they're waiting for me. And a flash comes onto my computer screen. I remember it being white. And not only was it doing that, but a voice began speaking with me.
Hello.
And
wow.
I'm telling you, my brain I froze. My brain wasn't thinking.
Was it like the voice of God?
No, it was a female voice. Oh. I was so shocked by it. I just froze. And there was a number to call. And I actually called this number.
But did they indicate what the number was attached to? Did it say you're calling Microsoft?
I don't recall.
Or you're calling Apple?
Yes, I believe I was calling Apple. I was panicked. Like, oh my God, you know, my computer.
And did it sound, Joyce, did it sound like a recording or did it sound like a person who was live speaking to you?
That's a good question.
So, you know, like maybe there was some breath sounds or was it just, you know, kind of more of a...
Sounded real. Yeah. I mean, I believed it.
Wow.
Now, did it sound like an urgent voice or,
Yes, it did sound urgent.
Threatening or not threatening?
No, not threatening.
Just like, oh, here's this thing you must do. Call this number, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Right.
And so you did. What happened when you called it? Where did you end up?
It wasn't like danger, Will Robinson, danger.
No.
So you think you may have been transferred to a call line somewhere in Asia?
Yes. The voice was clear. The connection was clear.
What happened when they picked up?
It was a voice that sounded, familiar from other calls like this. She said to me, "You authorized $5,000 to be removed from your Chase account." And that was like, okay, they're in there because Chase is the bank. And that really worried me that they knew that. And then he said, "I'm going to call Chase or the fraud department and they will help you." And then he connected me to this other guy. Didn't take long. And then he took over. And that's when, I started doubting what he was saying, but I'm still listening to this. And then he tells me, in order to stop that money from going out, you want to put it back in. It was confusing at that point, other than go get this money, put it in there. And I knew something was very wrong with that. And then at that point, my husband was working upstairs, happened to come down where I was sitting in my kitchen, where I'm often because my router is nearby. And I'm sort of saying, "Chase, there's a problem." And he immediately, "I'm going down to Chase." And I'm like, now the guy is hearing this. And I said, "I told you not to tell anyone." So at that point, he knows we've caught on. And then Jerry left quite immediately to go down to the bank. And then I hung up. And then they tried to call me back twice, both guys, because I took their names down. I saw what numbers came up on the phone. And they were very Americanized sounding names to me. And I didn't even think that went along with what I was hearing. But that being said, then I hung up and that was the end of it. Oh, and would you like to know what I did after that? I called up on the advice of the Chase gentleman. I called up TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. I froze our credit reports. I changed the password on my Chase account. I got a new credit card. And, the story has a happy ending. No money was taken. And that's kind of it.
Well, you did. You did the right things to remedy the situation. That's clear. The point also is that the advice that we can all give together, including you, based on your experience, is that if something pops up on your screen and flashes and tells you to call a number, mm-hmm. don't mm-hmm. call the number.
Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. I use Yahoo Finance. I use it to make money because it works, not just because they're a sponsor of the show. Heck, I've been using them for years before they ever called to become a sponsor. I do a lot of investing, and I need to make split-second financial decisions, and that's where Yahoo Finance comes in. I trade stocks, and I trade options, and you can't trade them in a vacuum. You gotta know what's going on. Yahoo Finance gives you the opportunity to look at the whole picture. I mean, breaking news, editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts. I love the customizable charts. They have it all. At Yahoo Finance, I'm part of a community of over 90 million users. You heard me. 90 million folks use Yahoo Finance because they're helping you on your way to financial success. Visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com, yahoofinance.com.
I think, Adam, why don't you explain what the scam is? Because it's a gift card scam.
This one is more of a gift card scam than a technology scam. The technology scam, which I think people should also know about, is when something flashes on your screen, tells you to call a number, you call a number, and they tell you to download something into your computer because there's a problem with your computer. A gift card scam is when they basically give you instructions to go and pay or to get gift cards and then provide them the authorization codes, and then they will take care of you, whatever the problem is they presented to you, by activating these authentication codes. And the problem there is, once it's on a gift card, and once you give someone the authorization code, it's gone forever. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose is to get you to give them money without it being traceable. Mm-hmm. And the second they get that code, they're gone, the money's gone, and any chance you have of trying to figure out how to recover the money is gone.
Wow.
So when you were doing that, Adam, Joyce lit up because she was going to tell you. Now, what happened, Joyce?
I totally forgot this part. Sorry. The first Apple guy says to me, I want you to download this software called TeamView, I believe it was. And I hate to say it, but I did it. And then all the computer flashing numbers are, all that. And I'm looking at it and like, oh my God, what did I do? I forgot that part, but that happened too.
And then I understand that you went down to Apple and had them take a look at your computer, right?
Yes, I did.
So what did they find when you went down there? Had you downloaded any kind of spyware, or was it okay?
It was okay.
Great.
It was totally okay. They told me that when these connections are severed, or when they end, they're severed. There was nothing on my computer at all, fortunately.
But they had been in your computer for a moment with you.
They were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem, and that is, it may not have been a problem in your case, but for many other people, once these guys get in your computer, they root around. They could leave malware in your computer,
mm-hmm.
which means that every time you log into one of your accounts, mm-hmm. it could be transmitting that information back to these hackers or scammers,
mm-hmm.
or it could at some point put something that anytime that you attempt to log in somewhere, it takes you to a different clone site, which looks like the real site, but in fact isn't, is designed to get even more information from you.
I want to take a lifeline here to Travis. Travis, if somebody uses a TeamView or, one of these overrides where they can look at your screen with you in real time, are they also able to put malware on your computer at that point, or?
A TeamViewer can take over a computer. So what that means is they can go, say, to a web page or a website that will download the malware to your computer. But yeah, it's a notoriously insecure program. It was the thing that was being used in February for the attempted poisoning of that city in Florida. They had TeamViewer installed.
Hacker tried to increase the amount of lye in the water
exactly.
for Ocala outside of Tampa, and that actually would have been fatal for hundreds of thousands of people.
Right. So it's not malware in and of itself, but if someone can get you to put that on their computer, then they will have pretty much full access.
We're doing that TeamView thing and you're near my computer, you can open up a tab in my browser and download malware, correct? You can.
Correct. Yep.
Wow. So
please don't, Travis.
Yeah.
So, Joyce, how long were they in your computer? I'm just curious.
Good 15 minutes.
Yeah, you can do a lot of damage in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's good in your case that, at least from what you know and from what Apple told you, that they didn't, but they could have.
Correct.
Now, I mean, one of the first things that I think Travis would suggest, and Adam and I, we're all going to tell you that you need to be running antivirus software that is trusted and updated and on 24/7. So if your computer decides to do something funny because of something funny they did in your computer, you will know right away.
Mm.
So that is probably the first order of business here, is to make sure that you have antivirus software on your computer.
Okay.
It's updated and functioning. I am not endorsing any product here, but I happen to use Malwarebytes, and mm-hmm. it seems to be very serviceable. I do pay, and I pay because I tend to believe that companies that ask me to pay for their service
mm-hmm.
are more on the hook to give me a good service. And there's another old adage, which I think Adam can spell out better than I can, which is whenever something's free,
you're the product.
Yeah, you're the product. Mm-hmm. That's not free. I mean, they're going for your private information or something. So
that makes sense. Yeah,
that would be my advice. What else, Adam?
Well, I think the other thing also is, you know, so many people are attacked by these kinds of scams. And, you know, many people go, I don't know why anyone's looking at me. I mean, I'm just me. But what people don't understand is that to a hacker, you are El Dorado. You're where the gold is. Because you have data, you have information, you have financial information, or in their eyes, you could be a tributary to a larger river, which means you may not be target, but you may be the HVAC subcontractor that has access into target, and you personally may be an employee of that company. So oftentimes hackers get into companies and expose the data of sometimes millions of people by compromising somebody that works at a company that does business with their target.
Well, that is like, so to put this into real terms for you, Joyce, your next Mahjong game could turn into a group Jeopardy match where everybody is exposed to whatever you were exposed to. And I think that that's sort of where it becomes a community effort to say, like, I'm going to take care of my stuff and make sure that I'm as secure as possible because I want to make sure you're as secure as possible and my friends are, and that, you know, when I go online, nobody is being, it's almost like what we've experienced with COVID-19, where, like, I am going to try and stay healthy so that I can help you stay healthy. Mm-hmm. It's very similar. They're both viruses. Just one happens to be digital and one biological.
Right.
The thing that you did, Joyce, that is, so you may not feel great about it. You may feel like, oh, I cannot believe I fell for that. However, you did something that a lot of people don't do. And by doing what you did, you probably saved the Mahjong game. So what you did was you raised your hand. You said something happened. It's just important, again, like, what do you want to do? You want to protect the Mahjong game. You want everybody to have a good time and not have to deal with a phony banker at 2 a.m. somewhere on the other side of the planet. And I'm going to be joining you in some Mahjong fairly soon. Sorry to say, you're stuck with me now.
I would love it to teach a man how to play Mahjong. No, actually, men do play. You know, it's an old Chinese game. It is good. It's a challenge.
I'm in.
Well, I guess.
All's well that ends well. We call that a teachable moment. But anyway, yes. Listen, Joyce, we can't thank you enough for being on the show.
Totally enjoyed it, everyone.
And this is a great object lesson and a teachable moment. And thank you.
Super nice to meet you, Joyce.
Likewise.
All right, so let me bring Travis back into the conversation. Travis, as our tech guru, give us a wrap up here.
Sure. There are several scams making the rounds right now that specifically target Apple users. What they're looking for is, first of all, to get you into a feeling of panic. They will call you saying that they're with Apple support. Apple Care or Apple support can be very good, but they're not so good that they can tell you that your computer is broken and then call you and contact you to let you know that. So usually what they'll do is they'll try to get you to do that and then get you to call. They'll try to get you to install software, but from there, they just see whatever they can get out of you. If they can get you to contact the bank on their behalf, they'll do that. If they can get you to provide a credit card number, they'll do that. If they can get you to install software to your computer, though, that is very much the mother load for them, because from there, that means they can access any number of your other files, even outside of your, say, iCloud account.
It's a scary thing. Technology can be a mystery to so many people.
Right. And that really does depend on people having that constant fear of stepping on a landmine that, oh, no, I hit the wrong button on my computer. Is it now broken? And then so when someone tells them that and then also provides them with the solution saying, you know, this part of your computer is broken. Here's how I can help. They are going to be frantic and anxious to actually get that solution. But one thing I thought was interesting that the FTC pointed out was that Apple users are often targeted because of the fact that Apple computers and products tend to be more expensive. So they're going after people that they think are a little bit more well-heeled, as it were, which makes them a better target. Because if they're going to empty out their bank account, for instance, or if they're going to get any valuable information, if you have someone that's using, say, a new top-of-the-line shiny MacBook, or if they're using a 8-year-old Lenovo laptop, the cost difference there usually ends up meaning that the target is more appealing.
I wondered, Travis, how do they, whoever they are, know what kind of computer I'm using? I mean, I get that they might know that I'm on an Apple, but how are they going to know that I'm using the latest MacBook, for example, or MacBook Pro?
A lot of that can come from your browser. So if you, say, go to a web page, or if you have a tracking cookie on your web page, everywhere you go online actually leaves a significant footprint. Part of that says what browser you're using, what browser version you're using, what operating system you're using. And if it's something that's relatively recent, or if you're using, say, the most recent version of Safari and the most recent version of the operating system, that implies that it's going to be a newer computer.
That's terrifying.
So is this called data dust?
It's a good term for it. Yeah, I think so. It's digital thumbprints. There's any number of ways to put it. But really, I mean, it's something that it doesn't even need to be done by hackers. Google Analytics, for instance, can tell you if you have a website, just who got on and where they're coming from, what kind of computer they're using, and so on. It's, just the act of opening up a web page is pretty much opening a lot of information up about you that most people aren't really aware of.
Next time you play Mahjong, you're going to be talking to anybody in India or Bangladesh or wherever the heck Joyce got transferred to?
Yeah, I would prefer not to do that. And that's my message to anyone. Is if something is flashing on your screen, if it tells you to call a phone number, don't do it. Just remember, if they want to get into your head, one of the best ways to get into your head is to get into your computer.
What the Hack is a Loudtree Media production in partnership with Large Media. That's LARJ Media. You can find What the Hack wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow us on social media and find more information at adamlevin.com.
He eats fried cheese.
It's true. I actually microwave it.